I wonder, in a room this size, how many people have ever had, don't raise your hand, a colonoscopy? Come on now. It's time to bring this test out of the shadows and start talking about it like we're adults. I remember vividly my first one. Not that I have them all the time, but I've had more than one. For years, I dreaded and put off going to the doctor for the fear that the doctor would say to me, "You have to have a colonoscopy." It sounded weird. It sounded painful. And most of all, it sounded real embarrassing. Finally, at one of those annual visits to my doctor, he ended it very nonchalantly by saying, "Greg, at your age, we're going to have to order a colonoscopy." Just as matter of fact as he could be. Fear and panic seized my body. The day had come that my worst fears were now going to be realized, and there was no way out of it. The date was set, and the only thing I was told was that I had to drink 12 gallons of some kind of cleanser the night before. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to get into that. When I got to the hospital, a nurse came into the little room where I was and explained some medication that I would be given. She went ahead and administered the medicine, and the next thing I knew, I remember waking up and seeing my wife standing by my bed, so I whispered to her, "When are they going to do it?" She laughed at me and she said, "They've already done it. It's over." Why didn't anyone tell me about that medicine? I tried to get my wife to get a bottle of that to take home with me. There's a lot of nights when I could use that. The test was no big deal. The preparation was a big deal. I was anxious because nobody told me what to expect. So listen up, all of you who work in the medical profession. Tell your patients what to expect. Now, the segue to today's discussion. Kind of proud of that story. I knew this morning many of you would come to church still a little blurry from Christmas, still coming down off your sugar high, and I knew I had to get your attention in a more dramatic way. And I bet you've never heard a pastor start a sermon with a colonoscopy story, have you? In this year of 2017 that we're just finishing, we as leadership encouraged you to find your place to serve among us. And like my first colonoscopy, you may have had some fear and trepidation about serving in ministry, getting into something that you'd never done before. You were worried and anxious about it, and therefore you just put it off. You just hadn't got involved. So this year we tried to make it easier because we realized that often we're guilty of not telling you what to expect. And therefore, it was easy to understand why many of you have not taken us up in service. So this year, we offered it to you in a lot of different ways. We did a connect and serve theme every month. We had a table out there in the foyer with information about these different ministries and different opportunities you had. Most of the months, we had people out there at that table who could answer questions about the ministry that was being highlighted. And we mixed the year with things that everyone can do, and then things that involved a little bit more involvement. For instance, everyone was able to take one of the baby bottles in January, put money in it, and bring it back for the pregnancy center. That is something we've supported for years, and we believe in that project. Everyone was qualified in the month of December to bring in food that benefited the Meals on Wheels program in South Park. We were feeding literally our neighborhood. Everyone was qualified to give money to the flood relief for the victims of those storms we had, especially down in Texas and Florida and in the islands. Everyone is qualified to put together an Operation Christmas Child for Samaritan's Purse. And you did that this year as well. Everyone was qualified to do a lot of those things that were open to anyone. There were some things, however, that we and gave you an opportunity to get involved with that required a little bit more involvement. little bit different ministry assignments. So working with our children at the church, working with our middle school and high school students, doing a Bible and life teaching assignment, or Operation Timothy mentoring program. Those are things that involve a different level of commitment on your part. Some of you found your place of ministry outside the sphere of what goes on within these walls, and we applaud that. What we're excited to tell you and to celebrate this morning is that many, many, many of you stepped up this year. I've known this for a long time. I'm on this side of the fence, so I follow behind you oftentimes, and I'm amazed at the things you've done in ministry that no one here will ever know about. I simply have the advantage of visiting places and someone tell me that they were, so-and-so was just here, or somebody made a meal for me, and on it goes. Now, this morning I asked the staff, and you guys can come on up and take your place here on the platform. I've asked the staff to come. This is the once a year when we're all together in worship. I asked them all to come today and give you a snapshot of what it took to do the ministry that their different areas represent. I asked them to either do it in the number of man hours it took or the number of people it took, what was involved. And so this morning, they're going to give you some statistics about that so you can see what went on at Peter's Creek. Now, remember this. This is just a glimpse. If we were to detail everything that went on at Peter's Creek, it would take us all morning. So don't be upset if your ministry, you felt, got slighted a little bit. That wasn't intentional, but we had to, for the sake of our time, understand what we have to share. I do want to say this. In addition to the staff who directs a lot of ministry, our church council, which involves our officers and the committee chairman and the committees that serve under them and the ministry staff, us, make up a body of people of about 50 or 60. And we perform responsibilities to do things that seem to you, hopefully, to be seamless. We do that all the time, and it's a fun thing, and we enjoy it. But it takes a lot of work to get some of that stuff done. Things like that Easter brunch and the family ministry Sunday socials and car cruises and the community picnic in September. They happen each year and it looks to be seamless, but trust me, your leaders take seriously those commitments and they are the ones that get it done. So now I'm going to turn this over and let these guys tell you a little bit about their area.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bart and I am in charge of the preschool ministry. God has blessed us with an abundance of children at Peter's Creek. In the preschool department, besides myself and my paid workers, it takes many volunteers to keep the ministry running smoothly. The preschool doors are open not only on Sunday and Wednesday, but also for many other areas and times in the year around. We have faithful volunteers that teach during both services on Sunday as well as in Bible and life. We have faithful, nurturing volunteers that hold and rock and care for our babies and infants and meet their needs the best they can. We have volunteers that enable MOPS program to minister to young moms. We have those who attend to children while their parents enjoy and are blessed by the spring and Christmas concerts. Volunteers ministering to our kids so that all the congregants can go to the annual meeting as we plan for another new year. The Easter egg hunt is one of our large events in preschool where we reach out not only to our own kids but also to the community around us. With a feeling of counting of Easter eggs and making crafts and packaging for each of the individual kids, the manning of different activity sites, it takes about 630 volunteer hours for just that 1.5 hour event. Bible Vacation Bible School is one of our biggest outreaches, not only to our own kids, but to the community at large. Our faithful volunteers begin in January to plan and begin to preparation for this summer event. So many volunteers work behind the scenes, helping to make crafts, planning games, Bible lessons, mission projects, as well as creating beautiful decorations. This year also incorporated volunteers to make many capes for our little kids in our Jesus Hero theme. This event will all told takes approximately 2,740 volunteer hours for our 5-day event. There are several other times that our volunteers willingly give of their time, their gifts and their talents, doing the way, annual business meetings, checking in and checking out process, and prepare to serve for the car cruise for the preschool night. During the course of the year, faithful volunteers served approximately 8,316 hours of service. In addition to all this, also the hours that are served by my child care workers in the preschool department to make the preschool department the very best and the safest for our little kids. And I want to thank all those volunteers for their time, gift, and talents, and for shaping God's future generations. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Laura. I work with the elementary students, grades 1 through 5, and I make sure your kids make it upstairs when they're dismissed from worship to go to their class. The theme for 2017 was finding your place to serve, and I want to share with you some of the areas in elementary where you did just that. The total number of volunteer hours served in elementary ministries was approximately 900, that's a very rough estimate, spread out through regular programmings and one-time events. On Sunday mornings, leaders got the chance to share God's word with students through study, video, activities, games, crafts, and discussion. During Wednesday program, leaders concentrated on building relationships with kids in their small groups through prayer and activities that got them talking and sharing with each other. There were also short-term opportunities where you served, the biggest being Vacation Bible School, held during 5 evenings in the summer, where we invite our children, their friends, and the community to come to this campus to study the Bible, sing energetic songs, get wonderful treats, and play exciting games. And the biggest question for the summer, what color will the t-shirts be? Other places where you stepped up, partnering with students with special needs, staffing the concession during the car cruise, filling in scene 1 for the way, family worship Sundays, someone's got to get the donuts and hot dogs ready. During this past year, several of you said to me, I've been thinking about where I can serve and I'd like to help with fill in the blank. I haven't done it before, but I'm willing to try it. I didn't sign up to help this year, but I'm going to make sure to sign up next time. Showing me that you took this theme seriously. Because you served, I had a student tell me that he had such a fun time at VBS, he will definitely be back next year. I had another student tell me that listening to her teacher in class explain what it means to be a Christian made her realize that she was ready to follow Jesus and be baptized. For those and many more reasons, thank you for serving. And just because we will be focusing on a new theme for 2018, don't stop asking yourself, where can I serve? You will continue to discover just what God has in store for you if you do that.
As we've met over the past year with our middle school and high school students on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights throughout the year, we've had discussions, several of which were about the attributes of God. The fact that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal. We talked about that with our students, which led to a discussion on several Sundays and Wednesdays about the fact that if that's true about God, what about Jesus and where does he fit into the story? Which gave us a wonderful opportunity as our lessons continue to talk about the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus is part of the Trinity, that Jesus also is eternal and all-knowing. The next question that came in the discussion was that if that's true, does that mean that Jesus knew all about me before he came here to earth? The answer was yes. If he knew all about me before he came to earth, did he know that I would sin? Yes, he knew that. Is that why he went to the cross? Because he knew that I was going to sin. Wonderful discussion that ended with yes, Jesus went to the cross for you. We had almost 1,500 hours of volunteer time for all those Wednesday meetings. Many of you were involved in the way. You helped us out on the hillside as we cleared brush. You helped us by sewing costumes, by building things, by painting, by driving the wagons, by preparing food, and so many other things. I talked to a parent after the first evening when they came back on the second evening. They had been in costume with their child. On the way home, they'd had a discussion the night before. The discussion was about the fact that Well, the question actually was, why were they so mean to Jesus? Why did they have to do all that to him? I know he came to die, but why did people have to be mean? Why did they have to hurt him? The discussion continued from that point. If they had to hurt him, does that mean, well, wait, if they hurt him so much, is that because he loved me that much? And the parent and child got to have that discussion at their home because you were willing to help out with the way. That took over 1,300 hours, and we thank you for that. When we add together mission trips, retreats, outings, parties, and gatherings throughout the year, we have volunteer time of over 9,000 hours dedicated to our youth, making sure that this is a place where the discussion always is, yes, Jesus died for you. Yes, we want you to know him.
One of the areas that I oversee is our adult education department. And in the area of adult education, one of our primary ministries is providing environments for education and discipleship. And by education and disciplement, what we mean is areas where you can learn more about what it means to be a Christian and areas where you can be encouraged in growing in those areas in your personal lives. So two of the main environments that we have created in our adult ministries department is our Bible and Life groups and our midweek classes. We have 8 Bible and Life groups that meet every single Sunday morning before this service for an hour every week. And we also have 3 Bible and Life groups that meet on Tuesdays. We also do midweek classes that meet every Wednesday for an hour for the 28 weeks during the school year, which means these midweek programs, there are typically 3 different classes offered for 4 different sessions for the whole 28-week school year. The midweek program and our Bible and Life opportunities together combined in a single year, they provide 610 hours of classroom time. This doesn't even include all of the hours that it takes for any of these people who are leading and teaching and providing facilitation for these groups to prepare for that. So if you've ever stood in front of somebody and talked, then you realize how many hours it takes to get the nerve to do that. So if you put all that together, there are thousands of hours that are put into our education department. And this doesn't even include the hundreds of other hours that are dedicated to things like our Operation Timothy discipleship groups, our grief share meetings, as well as our in-home small groups. So all in all, thanks to the service of many of you, we offer many hours of opportunity for education and discipleship within our church.
Prior to our coming together every morning, every Sunday morning for worship, we have a band and some singers, the worship team, that gets together to rehearse every Tuesday to prepare all the music so that we can have a good morning of singing together. Beyond that, they often will obviously spend more time rehearsing at home so that all the music can come together so that we can worship together. And then, of course, the choir that you see, they're usually here about 35 Sundays out of the year. That meant that there were probably 35 Wednesday nights that they came together here to rehearse and again spent time outside of that rehearsal time just to prepare for worship. The band and the worship team usually would put together maybe 750 hours in a year of rehearsal time. The choir would be about 1,500 hours of man hours that went into that. I also wanted to mention that we have 2 individuals in the choir who are vision impaired, and people have asked me how do they learn music since they can't see the sheet music. I give them separate individual recordings that they listen to over and over and over until they have memorized the song, and this happens, you know, for every Sunday. So they may have spent, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours listening to that song so that they can get it, so that they can be part of this worship experience. Some people that we don't usually acknowledge except when we find that something is not right would be the people who run the slides, of course, and in the sound booth. I should mention that anytime that you see something that's not right up here, there's a very good chance that it's because I didn't give them the right information. So every time that something's not right and you do this, they're just sitting up there saying, hey, look at him, because it's not really my fault. But they're obviously very faithful. They're very diligent. They try as hard as they possibly can to make every Sunday a meaningful worship experience for you, from a visual standpoint. And then, of course, Don is our sound man. He's here 52 Sundays a year. He's here from 7:15 in the morning. He's here from 7:15 in the morning till 12:15 every Sunday. He comes in for rehearsals, special rehearsals. He maintains the equipment, and he usually does not want any acknowledgement at all, so he probably hates it, but he kept the microphone on, so. So that's our music department. I might also mention there's another group that I have coffee with every Thursday. It's a group of retired and semi-retired guys, maybe a dozen of them that come and maintain the church building. For instance, when you see a light that's out, they're the ones that have to get a pole and do that so that none of us have to get up on ladders, putting up the wreaths and just all the maintenance, keeping the hot and the cold and everything. That group of guys meets every Thursday for about anywhere from 4 hours to 6 hours.
Hi, I'm Jess Rubiken. I am the youth director here at Peters Creek. I work under Pastor Dave, mainly with middle school. Today, however, I am playing the part of Ashley Ports, our community care director, as she went and had a baby on Friday. I told her that I thought she could have made it, but I have always considered it a great blessing to be part of this body of believers. You take care of one another, you encourage one another, and when I took a look at Ashley's list that she sent me of some of the things that this congregation did this year in the area of care, it only reaffirmed what I already knew. I had the opportunity to talk with a woman at Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and she shared with me what a huge blessing it was in this current season that she was going through to receive meals from people. She felt loved, she felt encouraged, and not only that, but it also opened a door for her to be able to share her faith with her coworkers. She was able to tell them about her church, and they were able to see her testimony, and they were able to witness what the love of Christ looks like. As a congregation, we took over 150 meals to people this year. And those are just the ones that we know about. I know that you make meals and you take them to people and we never know that. And I don't want to bore you with a long list of things. I just want to highlight a couple more. Bereavement meals. Over 200 hours worked this year in the preparation and the serving. And it's not just the time that goes into these meals. It's the care. This group, they are compassionate. They are kind, they are loving, they make sure that everybody has what they need, especially the family that is grieving. We also have people who spend time visiting hospitals, visiting care facilities, visiting people in their homes. There has been roughly 65 hours of visiting this year. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is God's Arms. Some of you may not know what this is, but it is a group that meets together on Tuesday evenings to knit and crochet. They have made baby blankets. They've made prayer shawls. They sent 27 men's hats to the city mission for this winter. And I just thought this was so cool. They have adopted an elementary school class in West Virginia. They made all of the children hats and scarves. And they also made 22 Christmas stockings and filled them with treats for the kids. I just love that. And I even have a little smiley face emoji in my notes. So thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for loving each other. I am so blessed to call you my family.
none of us that know Jessica are surprised at all that she had a smiley face emoji on her phone. So that was 2017, and that's a little thumbnail sketch of what it looked like. So my job today is to briefly give you a challenge for 2018. And we talked about this and prayed about this. Our goal is to encourage you this year to model the behavior of Jesus as you serve and live together in the community of faith. I want folks in our community to label our church as a caring place, as a place where they found compassion, as a place where they were accepted and loved as the people God made them to be. I want our reputation to precede us to people in this community, and they will see us as a lighthouse on this corner, that we are the arms and legs and hands of Jesus in this neighborhood. I've chosen a passage from Philippians chapter 2 where Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, he says this: "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In this letter, Paul is admonishing the church to make it their ambition to be known as a place of love and unity. He's calling the church to believe that the ideal that God had in mind when he planted his church on earth was to be a reflection of who he was, to model his behavior, so that the world would see him by looking at our lives. He wants us to understand that in order to accomplish what Jesus intended for the church to accomplish, we have to get rid of selfish ambition and pride in our lives. We have to look at one another. It's easy for churches to become inward-focused or self-focused. That's churches who plan all of their activities, all their programs, to meet their own needs. They don't look outside the walls. That's why we tell you from time to time, you've got to look through the stained glass and see the community we live in, see the world that we're a part of. This is the field that God has given us to minister in. Paul also wanted the church to understand that its witness and outreach is enhanced and characterized in the world by the way Christians treat each other, the way Christians act toward each other within the church, and the way they act toward outsiders, people who are outside the church, people who share our values, and people who do not. What we do together, that way we live together, will say much to the world about who we serve. The characteristics that best describe a person who genuinely follows the teachings and values of Jesus is a deep and loving concern. Today in our culture, I'm often taken back by the level of cruel and mean-spirited language, debate, and action that takes place in our world. We've gotten to the place where harsh and damaging verbal attacks on others are common and accepted and have been normalized. We've gotten to the point, thanks in part to the vehicles provided us by social media, that we say things about each other that just should never have been said. We're giving ourselves the permission to take part in unkind and destructive acts on each other. I wonder what Paul would say to the church of the 21st century as he looks at us and sees the way we treat each other. Verse 4 of that passage said that Each of us should look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. I use this passage a lot in weddings that I'm performing, when I'm talking to folks who are about to enter the covenant of marriage. And I don't think there's any better mandate that can be given to a couple as they start their lives together than that they are responsible to look out for the best interest of their partner now and forever. Often I will say, the one who stands by your side, that becomes now your first priority. Well, in that bigger picture of this passage, that's kind of what Paul wanted for the church. He wants us to see ourselves as a body. He wants us to see ourselves as an organism that works together, that loves each other, that sacrifices for the good of another. Every day, he wants us to wake up and try to find a way to make someone's life easier. Every day, he wants us to find time to visit someone or just call and encourage someone. Every day, he wants you as parents to perform an action of love and concern so that your children grow up seeing that example in their home. Because if that is the example you're using, they will be able to equate that with Jesus. I think it would behoove us this year to carry some money in our pockets, some money every day, in case we run into somebody who has a need. Now, for you millennials, money is the green things that folded that some older people carry in their pockets. So you may have to go and ask the bank if you can have some of that green stuff, because if you hand your ATM card to someone on the street, that's not a good idea. So every year we try to encourage you to think about ways to enhance your spiritual experience. Our goal this year, finding your place of service. And for 2018, our theme is going to be showing the love and kindness of Jesus every day. In some way or another, I'm challenging you as your pastor. Look for ways that you can serve and minister to each other and to those outside this church. Now, that's going to mean that you're going to have to give more time to care for the people in your circle of friends. But it's also going to mean that your circle of friends needs to grow. You need to make room in that circle for a lot more folks. It will mean people will feel welcome here. What would happen to our church if this year we all adopted this thing and we started living like Jesus and we started loving like Jesus? I have a feeling our church would experience great revival and we would see him work. It also means that whenever possible this year, when you're doing an act of kindness, do it anonymously if you can. The greatest surprise of all is to watch the joy in someone's life that's been blessed by a service that you've performed, and they can't figure out where in the world it came from. It's fun watching people drive themselves nuts a little bit when they're saying, I don't know where this came from. Where did this come from? Who gave me this card? Where did I get this money? Where did I get this food? Who brought this to my house? I love that. I love that. I love you not telling them. But here's what I want you to do beyond that. I want you to do these acts of kindness, and then I want you to anonymously email me. Use my email address and send them to me throughout the year, and I will share them with the congregation. No names, but I'll share the act of kindness that you performed on someone else to see what those reactions are. Paul goes on in this chapter by saying, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. That's what I want for you as a congregation. That's what I want you to experience. I want us to run well in 2018. The years go fast, and the older you get, the faster they go. We've got to make good use of our time. There are people in your life right now who need to know that you care about them, that you're concerned about them, and that most importantly, Jesus is concerned about them, and he wants the best for them. So run this year with the love of Jesus always in front of you, and the needs of people always getting your attention. I hope that in the last week of 2018, I come to you And I see so many new faces in 2018 who came to faith and came to our church as a result of an act of kindness that you extended to them. A co-worker, a neighbor, a relative, a friend. Let's make this a year when we get out of ourselves, we lose our selfish ambition, and we invest in others. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, God, for those who've gathered here this morning, on this cold morning. But God, you challenge us from your word that we are to be people who reflect and emulate the one who loves us the most, the one who sacrificed in ways that we cannot, the one who gave his life that we might experience new life. And God, I pray that as we celebrate that today, we will celebrate with you, because God, you brought us together. You challenged us today. Help us to go forth and live the way you want us to. And God's people said,